Side 3, Cassette Number 2, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Continuing introductory remarks on page 51. Let us now briefly recognize certain facts regarding fire and matter, and let us take them in order, leaving time to elucidate their significance. First, we might say that the internal fire, being both latent and active, shows itself as the synthesis of the acknowledged fires of the system, and demonstrates, for instance, as solar radiation and inner planetary combustion. This subject has been somewhat covered by science and is hidden in the mystery of physical plane electricity, which is an expression of the active internal fires of the system and of the planet, just as inner combustion is an expression of the latent internal fires. These latter fires are to be found in the interior of each globe and are the basis of all objective physical life. Secondly, we might note that the internal fires are the basis of life in the lower three kingdoms of nature, and in the fourth, or human kingdom, in connection with the two lower vehicles. The fire of mind, when blended with the internal fires, is the basis of life in the fourth kingdom, and united they control, partially now and later entirely, the lower threefold man, or the personality. This control lasts up to the time of the first initiation. The fire of spirit, finally, when blended with the two other fires, which blending commences in man at the first initiation, forms a basis of spiritual life or existence. As evolution proceeds in the fifth or spiritual kingdom, these three fires blaze forth simultaneously, producing perfected consciousness. This blaze results in the final purification of matter and its consequent adequacy. At the close of manifestation, it brings about eventually the destruction of the form and its dissolution and the termination of existence as understood on the lower planes. Page 52. In terms of Buddhistic theology, it produces annihilation. This involves not loss of identity, but the cessation of objectivity and the escape of spirit plus mind to its cosmic center. It has its analogy in the initiation at which the adept stands free from the limitations of matter in the three worlds. The internal fires of the system, of the planet, and of man are threefold. 1. Interior fire at the center of the sphere, those inner furnaces which produce warmth. This is latent fire. 2. Radiatory fire. This type of fire might be expressed in terms of physical plane electricity, of light rays, and of etheric energy. This is active fire. 3. Essential fire, or the fire elementals, who are themselves the essence of fire. They are mainly divided into two groups. A. Fire devas, or evolutionary entities. B. Fire elementals, or involutionary entities. Later we will elaborate on this when we consider the fire of mind and deal with the nature of the thought elementals. All these elementals and devas are under the control of the fire lord Agni. When considering him and his kingdom, the subject can be taken up at greater length. We might here point out, however, that our first two statements concerning the internal fires express the effect that the fire entities have upon their environment. Heat and radiation are other terms which might be applied in this sense. Each of these effects produces a different class of phenomena. Page 53. Latent fire causes the active growth of that in which it is embedded, and causes that upward pushing which brings into manifestation all that is found in the kingdoms of nature. Radiatory fire causes the continued growth of that which has progressed under the influence of latent fire to a point receptive of the radiatory. Let us tabulate it thus. Systemic or macrocosmic, the solar logos or the grand man of the heavens. Latent or interior fire produces the internal heat which makes the solar system productive of all forms of life. It is the inherent warmth that causes all fertilization, whether human, animal, or vegetable. Active or radiatory fire retains in life and causes the evolution of all that has evolved into objectivity by means of latent fire. Planetary, or the heavenly men. What is laid down anent the system as a whole can be predicated of all planets which in their nature reflect the sun, their elder brother. Human, or the microcosmic man. Human latent fire, the heat interior of the human frame, causes production of other forms of life, such as 1. The physical body cells, 2. Organisms nourished by the latent heat, 3. The reproduction of itself in other human forms, the basis of the sex function. Human radiatory or active fire is a factor as yet but little comprehended. It relates to the health aura and to that radiation from the etheric which makes a man a healer and able to transmit active heat. It is necessary to differentiate between this radiation from the etheric, which is a radiation of prana, and magnetism, which is an emanation from a subtler body, usually the astral, and has to do with the manifestation of the divine flame within the material sheaths. Page 54. The divine flame is formed on the second plane, the monadic, and magnetism, which is a method of demonstrating radiatory fire, is therefore felt paramountly on the fourth and sixth planes, or through the buddhic and astral vehicles. These are, as we know, closely allied to the second plane. This distinction is of importance and should be carefully recognized. Having therefore made the above statements, we can proceed to take up somewhat in greater detail the interior fires of the systems, microcosmic and macrocosmic. Page 55. Section 1. Division A. The internal fires of the sheaths. 1. The three channels. 2. Fire elementals and devas. Roman numeral 1. The three channels for the fire. From the very use of the term sheath, it will be noted that we are considering those fires which manifest through the medium of those externalities, of those veils of substance which hide and conceal the inner reality. We shall not here take up the subject of the sheaths on the higher planes, but simply deal with the fires that animate the three lower vehicles, the physical body in its two divisions, etheric and dense, the emotional or astral body, and the mental sheath. It is frequently overlooked by the casual student that both the astral and the mental bodies are material, and just as material in their own way as is the dense physical body, and also that the substance of which they are composed is animated by a triple fire, as is the physical. In the physical body we have the fires of the lower nature, the animal plane, centralized at the base of the spine. They are situated at a spot which stands in relation to the physical body as the physical sun to the solar system. This central point of heat radiates in all directions, using the spinal column as its main artery, but working in close connection with certain central ganglia, wherever located, and having a special association with the spleen. Page 56, which is a chart, deleted. Page 57. In the etheric body, which is an exact replica of its denser counterpart, we have the organ of active or radiatory fire and, as is well known, the vehicle of prana. Its function is to store up the rays of radiatory light and heat which are secured from the sun and to transmit them via the spleen to all parts of the physical body. Hence, in the future, it will come to be recognized that the spine and the spleen are of the utmost importance to the physical well-being of man, and that when the spinal column is duly adjusted and aligned, and when the spleen is freed from congestion and in a healthy condition, there will be little trouble in the dense physical body. When the physical furnace burns brightly, and when the fuel of the body, pranic rays, is adequately assimilated, the human frame will function as desired. The subject of the blending of these two fires, which is complete in a normal and healthy person, should engross the attention of the modern physician. He will then concern himself with the removal of nerve congestion or material congestion so as to leave a free channel for the inner warmth. This blending, which is now a natural and usual growth in every human being, was one of the signs of attainment or of initiation in an earlier solar system. Just as initiation and liberation are marked in this solar system by the blending of the fires of the body, of the mind, and of the spirit, so in an earlier cycle, attainment was marked by the blending of the latent fires of matter with the radiatory or active fires, and then their union with the fires of mind. In the earlier period, the effects and manifestation of the divine flame were so remote and deeply hidden as to be scarcely recognizable, though dimly there. Its correspondence can be seen in the animal kingdom, in which instinct holds the intuition in latency, and the spirit dimly overshadows. Page 58. Yet all is a part of a divine whole. The subject of the radiatory heat of the macrocosmic and microcosmic systems will be dealt with in detail in a later subdivision. Here we will only deal with the latent interior fire of the A. Sun, B. Planet, C. Man, D. Atom. We must remember that in both the astral and the mental sheaths there exist the counterparts of the centers as found in the physical body. These centers concern matter and its evolution. One fundamental statement can be laid down anent the internal fires of all these four, sun, planet, man, and atom. There exists in the sun, in the planet, in man, and in the atom, a central point of heat, or, if I might use so limiting and inappropriate a term, a central cavern of fire, or nucleus of heat, and this central nucleus reaches the bounds of its sphere of influence, its ring pass not, by means of a threefold channel. A. The Sun. Within the Sun, right at its very heart, is a sea of fire or heat, but not a sea of flame. Herein may lie a distinction that perhaps will convey no meaning to some. It is the center of the sphere and the point of fiercest internal burning, but has little relation to the flames or burning gases, whatever terms you care to use, that are generally understood to exist whenever the Sun is considered. Page 59. It is the point of fiercest incandescence, and the objective sphere of fire is but the manifestation of that internal combustion. This central heat radiates its warmth to all parts of the system by means of a triple channel, or through its rays of approach, which in their totality express to us the idea of the heat of the sun. 1. The akasha, itself vitalized matter or substance animated by latent heat. 2. Electricity, substance of one polarity and energized by one of the three aspects logoic, to express it more occultly, substance showing forth the quality of the cosmic lord whose energy it is. 3. Light rays of pranic aspect, some of which are being now recognized by the modern scientists. They are but aspects of the latent heat of the sun as it approaches the earth by a particular line of least resistance. When the term channel or ray of approach is used, it means approach from the center of solar radiation to the periphery. What is encountered during that approach, such as planetary bodies, for instance, will be affected by the akashic current, the electrical current, or the pranic current in some way. But all of these currents are only the internal fires of the system when viewed from some other point in universal, though not solar, space. It is therefore obvious that this matter of fire is as complex as that of the rays. The internal fires of the solar system become external and radiatory when considered from the standpoint of a planet, while the internal fires of the planet will affect a human being as radiation in exactly the same way as the pranic emanations of his etheric body affect another physical body as radiatory. The point to be grasped in all these aspects is that one and all have to do with matter or substance and not with mind or spirit. Page 60. B. The Planet. Deep in the heart of the planet, such a planet as the Earth, for instance, are the internal fires that occupy the central sphere, or the caverns, which, filled with incandescent burning, make life upon the globe possible at all. The internal fires of the moon are practically burnt out, and therefore she does not shine save through reflection, having no inner fire to blend and merge with light external. These inner fires of the Earth can be seen functioning, as in the sun, through three main channels. 1. Productive substance, or the matter of the planet vitalized by heat. This heat and matter together act as the mother of all that germinates and as the protector of all that dwells therein and thereon. This corresponds to the akasha, the active vitalized matter of the solar system that nourishes all as does a mother. 2. Electrical fluid, a fluid which is latent in the planet, though as yet but little recognized. It is perhaps better expressed by the term animal magnetism. It is the distinctive quality of the atmosphere of a planet, or its electrical ring pass not. It is the opposite pole to the solar electrical fluid, and the contact of the two and their correct manipulation is the aim, perhaps unrealized, of all scientific endeavor at this time. 3. That emanation of the planet which we might term planetary prana. It is that which is referred to when one speaks of the health-giving qualities of Mother Nature, and which is back of the cry of the modern physician when he wisely says, back to the earth. It is the fluidic emanation of this prana which acts upon the physical body, though in this case not via the etheric body. It is absorbed through the skin purely, and the pores are its line of least resistance. Page 61. See the man. At the base of the spine lie hid the fires of the human system, or the internal fires of the microcosm. The center is located there, and from it the radiations go forth along the three channels recognizable in the spine. 1. Bodily warmth. The channel along which the heat radiates and which finds the goal of its attention to be the heating of the corporeal frame. This vitalization of the dense matter of the body finds its correspondence in the systemic akasha and in planetary productive substance. 2. Nervous response. This is the vitalizing tenuous fluid which applies itself to the stimulation of the nervous centers and which creates electrical response to contact between the nerves and the brain. It should now be more closely studied. It corresponds to systemic electricity and to planetary electricity. 3. Pranic emanation. The emanation via the etheric body, which corresponds in man to solar prana and to planetary prana. This demonstrates principally in the health aura and has naught to do with magnetic qualities as generally interpreted when considering a personality or man as a unit. I make this repetition as it is very necessary that no mental confusion exists between that magnetism which is a spiritual emanation and that which is purely animal. It might be wise here to point out that this triple manifestation of fire demonstrates in the astral and mental bodies likewise, having to do with the substance of those bodies. We might express this fire in its triple manifestation as the sum total of the essential fire or life activity of the third logos. It should be carefully borne in mind that the manifestation of the work of the three logoi is the expression of the mind of some cosmic entity. Page 62. In the same way, the seven planetary entities, the seven heavenly men, are seven logoi, likewise cosmic beings, who in their totality form the body of the threefold logos. We have therefore 1. The undifferentiated logos, a cosmic entity. 2. The logos, threefold in manifestation, A. The cosmic lord of will power, B. The cosmic lord of love and wisdom, C. The cosmic lord of active intelligence. 3. The triple logos, sevenfold in manifestation, i.e. the seven planetary logoi. Page 63. Each of these cosmic entities is, in his essential essence, fire. Each manifests as fire in a threefold manner. In point of time, the cosmic lord of active intelligence, considered from the standpoint of cosmic evolution, is more evolved than his two brothers. He is the life of matter, its latent internal fire. His is the fire essence that lies at the heart of the sun, of the planet, and of man's material forms. He is the sum total of the past. The Lord of Cosmic Love now seeks union with his brother, and, in point of time, embodies all the present. He is the sum total of all that is embodied. He is conscious existence. He is the Sun Divine, and his life and nature evolve through every existent form. The Lord of Cosmic Will holds hid the future within his plans and consciousness. They are all three the sons of one Father. All three the aspects of the one God. All three are spirit, all three are soul, and all three are rays emanating from one cosmic center. All three are substance, but in the past one Lord was the elder son. In the present, another Lord comes to the fore, and in the future, still another. But this is so only in time. From the standpoint of the eternal now, none is greater nor less than another, for the last shall be first, and the first last. Out of manifestation, time is not, and freed from objectivity, states of consciousness are not. The fire of spirit is the essential fire of the first Lord of will plus the fire of the second Logos of love. These two cosmic entities blend, merge, and demonstrate as soul, utilizing for purposes of manifestation the aid of the third Logos. The three fires blend and merge. In this fourth round and on this fourth globe of our planetary scheme, the fires of the third Logos of intelligent matter are fusing somewhat with the fires of cosmic mind, showing as will or power, and animating the thinker on all planes. Page 64. The object of their cooperation is the perfected manifestation of the cosmic Lord of love. This should be pondered upon, for it reveals a mystery. The blending of the three fires, the merging of the three rays, and the cooperation of the three logoi have in view, at this time and within this solar system, the development of the essence of the cosmic Lord of Love, the second person in the Logoic Trinity. Earlier it was not so. Later it will not be. But now it is. When viewed from the cosmic mental plane, these three constitute the personality of the Logos and are seen functioning as one. Hence the secret, well recognized as fact, though not understood, of the excessive heat, occultly expressed, of the astral or central body of the triple personality. It animates and controls the physical body, and its desires hold sway in the majority of cases. It demonstrates in time and space the correspondence of the temporary union of spirit and matter, the fires of cosmic love and the fires of matter blended. A similar analogy is found in the heat apparent in this second solar system. D. The atom. The inner fires of the atom can likewise be seen functioning along similar lines, their demonstration being already somewhat recognized by science. This being so, there exists no necessity for further elaboration. Page 65. Roman numeral 2. Fire, elementals, and devas. We might now briefly consider the subject of the fire elementals and devas, and then deal with the relation of the personality ray to this internal fire of the system in its threefold manifestation. Certain facts are known in connection with the fire spirits, if so they may be termed. The fundamental fact that should here be emphasized is that Agni, the Lord of Fire, rules over all the fire elementals and devas on the three planes of human evolution, the physical, the astral, and the mental, and rules over them not only on this planet, called the Earth, but on the three planes in all parts of the system. He is one of the seven brothers, to use an expression familiar to students of the secret doctrine, who each embody one of the seven principles, who are in themselves the seven centers in the body of the cosmic Lord of Fire, called by HPB, Fohat. He is that active fiery intelligence who is the basis of the internal fires of the solar system. On each plane, one of these brothers holds sway, and the three elder brothers, for always the three will be seen, and later the seven, who eventually merge into the primary three, rule on the first, third, and the fifth planes, or on the plane of Adi, of Atma, and of Manas. It is urgent that we here remember that they are fire viewed in its third aspect, the fire of matter. Page 66. In their totality, these seven lords form the essence of the cosmic lord, called in the occult books Fohat. This is so in the same sense as the seven Chohans, with their affiliated groups of pupils, form the essence or centers in the body of one of the heavenly men, one of the planetary logoi. These seven again, in their turn, form the essence of the Logos. Each of the seven lords of fire are differentiated into numerous groups of fire entities, from the deva lords of a plane down to the little salamanders of the internal furnaces. We are not dealing with the fiery essences of the higher planes at this stage in our discussion. We will only enumerate somewhat briefly some of the better known groups as contacted in the three worlds. 1. Physical plane. Salamanders, those little fire elementals who can be seen dancing in every flame, tending the fires of the hearth and the home and of the factory. They are of the same group as the fire spirits who can be contacted deep in the fiery bowels of the planet. Fire spirits, latent in all focal points of heat, who are themselves the essence of warmth and can be contacted in the heat of the bodily frame, whether human or animal, and who are likewise the warmth terrestrial. Page 67. The Agni Chaitans, a higher grade of fire spirit, who form a vortex of fire when viewed on a large scale, such as in volcanoes and large destructive burnings. They are closely allied to a still more important group of devas who form the fiery envelope of the sun. The pranic elementals, those minute fiery essences who have the ability to permeate the texture of the human body, of a tree, of all that may be found in the human, vegetable, and animal kingdoms, and who blend with the fires of the microcosmic systems. Certain of the Deva kingdom, who may be described as ensouling certain of the great light rays, and who are in themselves the essence of those rays. Other forms of such elemental lives and of Deva groups might be enumerated, but the above tabulation will suffice for our present purpose. 2. The astral plane. The fiery essences of this plane are more difficult for us to comprehend, having not as yet the seeing eye upon that plane. They are in themselves the warmth and heat of the emotional body and of the body of feeling. They are of a low order when upon the path of desire, and of a high order when upon the path of aspiration, for the elemental is then transmuted into the deva. Their grades and ranks are many, but their names matter not save in one instance. It may be of interest to know the appellation applied to the devas of fire, whose part it is to tend the fires that would later destroy the causal body. We need to remember that it is the upspringing of the latent fire of matter and its merging with two other fires that causes destruction. These elementals and devas are called the Agni Suryans, and in their totality are the fiery essences of Buddhi. Hence their lowest manifestation is on the sixth plane, the astral. Page 68. Further information concerning these deva lives will be found further on in the treatise, where they are dealt with at some length. Page 69. Section 1, Division B, the personality ray and fire by friction. 1. The work of the three rays, the personality ray, the egoic ray, the monadic ray. 2. The personality ray and the permanent atom. 3. The personality ray and karma. Roman numeral 1. The work of the three rays. We here touch upon a matter of wide general interest, yet which is, withal, very little comprehended. I refer to the subject of the permanent atoms. Each body or form wherein spirit functions has for its focal point on each plane an atom composed of matter of the atomic subplane of each plane. This serves as a nucleus for the distribution of force, for the conservation of faculty, for the assimilation of experience, and for the preservation of memory. Page 70. These atoms are in direct connection with one or other of the three great rays in connection with the microcosm. A. The monadic ray, the synthetic ray of the microcosm. B. The egoic ray. C. The personality ray. Each of these rays has a connection with one or other of the permanent atoms in the lower threefold man, and has a direct action upon the spirille found within the atom. We have noted in Letters on Occult Meditation that the atoms of the lower threefold man underwent a twofold process. They were first vivified in rotation, and each held the light in ordered sequence until the lower triangle was entirely illumined. Eventually, transmutation took place, or, to word it otherwise, the polarization eventually shifted into the three permanent atoms of the triad, and out of the three permanent atoms of the lower triangle. The physical permanent atom is transcended, and the polarization becomes manasic or mental. The astral permanent atom is transcended, and the polarization becomes buddhic, while the mental unit is superseded by the permanent atom of the fifth plane, the atmic. page 71. This is all brought about by the action of the three rays upon the atoms and upon the life within each atom. The relationship between these three rays and the permanent atoms might be summarized as follows. The personality ray has direct action upon the physical permanent atom. The egoic ray has a similar action upon the astral permanent atom. The monadic ray has a close connection with the mental unit. The effect which they have is threefold, but is not simultaneous. They work ever, as do all things in nature, in ordered cycles. The stimulation, for instance, that is the result of the action of the monadic ray upon the mental unit, is only felt when the aspirant treads the path, or after he has taken the first initiation. The action of the egoic ray upon the astral permanent atom is felt as soon as the ego can make good connection with the physical brain. When this is so, the egoic ray is beginning to affect the atom powerfully and continuously. This occurs when a man is highly evolved and is nearing the path. This threefold force is felt in the following way. First, it plays upon the wall of the atom as an external force and affects his rotary and vibratory action. Second, it stimulates the inner fire of the atom and causes its light to shine with increasing brilliancy. Third, it works upon the spirillae and brings them all gradually into play. Roman numeral 2, the personality ray and the permanent atom. The personality ray deals with the first four spirillae and is the source of their stimulation. Note here the correspondence to the lower quaternary and its stimulation by the ego, page 72. The egoic ray concerns itself with the fifth spirilla and with the sixth and is the cause of their emerging from latency and potentiality into power and activity. The monadic ray is the source of the stimulation of the seventh spirilla. There is great interest attached to this subject, and wide reaches of thought and vast fields for investigation open up before the earnest student. This threefold action varies in point of time and sequence according to the ray itself upon which the monad may be found, but the subject is too vast to be handled at this time. In looking at the matter from the standpoint of fire, the idea may be grasped a little through the realization that the latent fire of matter in the atom is brought into brilliance and usefulness by the action of the personality ray, which merges with this fire and stands in the same position to the permanent atom in the microcosm as Fohat does on the cosmic plane. The fire is there hidden within the sphere, whether the sphere systemic or the sphere atomic, and the personality ray in the one case and Fohat in the other acts as the force which brings latency into activity and potentiality into demonstrated power. This correspondence should be thought out with care and judgment. Just as Fohat has to do with active manifestation or objectivity, so the personality ray has to do with the third or activity aspect in the microcosm. The work of the third aspect logoic was the arranging of the matter of the system so that eventually it could be built into form through the power of the second aspect. Thus the correspondence works out. By life upon the physical plane, that life wherein the physical permanent atom has its full demonstration, the matter is arranged and separated that must eventually be built into the temple of Solomon, the egoic body, through the agency of the egoic life, the second aspect. Page 73. In the quarry of the personal life are the stones prepared for the great temple. In existence upon the physical plane and in the objective personal life is that experience gained which demonstrates as faculty in the ego. What is here suggested would richly repay our closest attention and open up before us reaches of ideas which should eventuate in a wiser comprehension, a sounder judgment, and a greater encouragement to action. Roman numeral 3, the personality ray and karma. It might be wise here to recapitulate a little so that in the refreshing of the memory may come the basis of further knowledge. We dealt first with the three files of the system, macrocosmic and microcosmic, And having laid down certain hypotheses, we pass to the consideration of the first of the fires, that which is inherent in matter. Having studied it somewhat in its threefold manifestation in the various parts of the system, including man, we took up the matter of the personality ray and its relationship to this third fire. We must recall here that all that has been dealt with has been in relation to matter, and for the whole of this first section, this thought must be borne carefully in mind. In our second section, we will consider all from the standpoint of mind, and in the final, from the standpoint of the divine ray. Here we are dealing with what H.P.B. calls the primordial ray and its manifestations in matter. All these rays of cosmic mind, primordial activity, and divine love wisdom are but essential quality demonstrating through the agency of some one factor. The primordial ray is the quality of motion demonstrating through matter. The ray of mind is the quality of intelligent organization demonstrating through forms, which are the product of motion and matter. Page 74. The ray of love wisdom is the quality of basic motive that utilizes the intelligent organization of matter in motion to demonstrate in one synthetic whole the great love aspect of the Logos. This line of thought can be worked out also correspondingly in the microcosm, and will show how individual man is engaged in the same type of work on a lesser scale as the solar Logos. At this point in the treatise, we are confining our attention to the ray of active matter, or to that latent heat and substance which underlies its activity and is the cause of its motion. If we think with sincerity and with clarity, we will see how closely, therefore, the Lipika lords, or the lords of karma, are associated with this work. Three of them are closely connected with karma as it concerns one or other of the three great rays, or the three fires, while the fourth Lipika lord synthesizes the work of his three brothers and attends to the uniform blending and merging of the three fires. On our planet, the Earth, they find their points of contact through the three Buddhas of activity. The correspondence should be noted here. And the fourth Kumara, the lord of the world. Therefore, we arrive at the realization that the personality ray, in its relation to the fire of matter, is directly influenced and adjusted in its working by one of the Buddhas of activity. Page 75. The karma of matter itself is an abstruse subject and has as yet scarcely been hinted at. It is nevertheless indissolubly mixed up with the karma of the individual. It involves a control of the evolution of the monadic essence, the elemental essence, and of the atomic matter of the plane. It is concerned with the development of the four spirillae, with their activity, with their attachment to forms when atomic, and with the development of the inner latent heat and its gradual fiery increase, until we have within the atom a repetition of what is seen within the causal body, the destruction of the periphery of the atom by the means of burning. It deals with the subject of the building of matter into form by the interaction of the two rays, the divine and the primordial, producing thereby that fire by friction which tends to life and fusing. The karma of form is likewise a vast subject, too involved for average comprehension, but a factor of real importance which should not be overlooked in connection with the evolution of a world, a synthesis of worlds, or of a system when viewed from higher levels. Page 76. Everything is, in its totality, the result of action taken by cosmic essences and entities in earlier solar systems, which is working out through the individual atoms and through those congeries of atoms which we call forms. The effect of the personality ray upon the internal fires is, therefore, in effect, the result of the influence of the planetary Logos of whatever ray is implicated, as he works out that portion of karma which falls to his share in any one cycle, greater or lesser. He thus brings about and eventually transmutes the effects of causes which he set in motion earlier in relation to his six brothers, the other planetary Logoi. We get an illustrative parallel in the effect which one individual will have upon another in worldly contact in molding and influencing, in stimulating or retarding. We have to remember that all fundamental influence and effects are felt on the astral plane and work thence through the etheric to the dense physical, thereby bringing matter under its sphere of influence, yet not itself originating on the physical plane. Page 77, Section 1, Division C, the etheric body and prana. Roman numeral 1, the nature of the etheric body. 1, its purpose and description. 2, 8 statements. Roman numeral 2, the nature of prana. 1, solar prana. 2, planetary prana. 3, the prana of forms. Roman numeral 3, the function of the etheric body. 1, it is the receiver of prana. 2, it is the assimilator of prana. 3, it is the transmitter of prana. 4, disorders of the etheric body. Roman numeral 4, macrocosmic and microcosmic ethers. 1, the planetary logos and the ethers. 2, cosmic and systemic ethers. 3, protective purpose of etheric body. Roman numeral 5, death and the etheric body. 1, microcosmic death. 2, macrocosmic pralaya. Roman numeral 1, the nature of the etheric body. In our consideration of the internal fires of the system, we shall find much of very real interest to the coming generation of thinkers for three main reasons, which might be enumerated as follows. 1, its purpose and description. First, in the study of the etheric body lies hid, for scientists and those of the medical profession, a fuller comprehension of the laws of matter and the laws of health. The word health has become too localized in the past, and its meaning confined to the sanity of the body corporeal, to the cooperative action of the atoms of the physical body of man, and to the full expression of the powers of the physical elemental. In days to come, it will be realized that the health of man is dependent upon the health of all allied evolutions, and upon the cooperative action and full expression of the matter of the planet and of the planetary elemental, who is himself a composite manifestation of the physical elementals of all manifested nature. Second, in the study of the etheric body and prana lies the revelation of the effects of those rays of the sun which, for lack of better expression, we will call solar pranic emanations. These solar pranic emanations are the produced effect of the central heat of the sun approaching other bodies within the solar system by one of the three main channels of contact and producing on the bodies then contacted certain effects differing somewhat from those produced by the other emanations. These effects might be considered as definitely stimulating and constructive and, through their essential quality, as producing conditions that further the growth of cellular matter and concern its adjustment to environing conditions. They concern likewise the internal health, demonstrating as the heat of the atom and its consequent activity, and the uniform evolution of the form of which that particular atom of matter forms a constituent part. Emanative prana does little in connection with form building. That is not its province, but it conserves the form through the preservation of the health of its component parts. Page 79. Other rays of the sun act differently upon the forms and upon their substance. Some perform the work of the destroyer of forms, and others carry on the work of cohering and of attracting. The work of the destroyer and of the preserver is carried on under the law of attraction and repulsion. Some rays definitely produce accelerated motion. Others produce retardation. The ones we are dealing with here, pranic solar emanations, work within the four ethers, that matter which, though physical, is not as yet objectively visible to the eye of man. They are the basis of all physical plane life considered solely in connection with the life of the physical plane atoms of matter, their inherent heat and their rotary motion. These emanations are the basis of that fire by friction, which demonstrates in the activity of matter. Finally, in the study of the etheric body and prana, comes comprehension of the method of logoic manifestation, and therefore much of interest to the metaphysician and all abstract thinkers. The etheric body of man holds hid the secret of his objectivity. It has its correspondence on the archetypal plane, the plane we call that of the divine manifestation, the first plane of our solar system, the plane Adi. The matter of that highest plane is called often the sea of fire, and it is the root of the Akasha, the term applied to the substance of the second plane of manifestation. Let us trace the analogy a little more in detail, for in its just apprehension will be found much of illumination and much that will serve to elucidate problems, both macrocosmic and microcosmic. We will begin with man and his etheric body. End of side 3, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 79, continued on side 4.
The etheric body has been described as a network permeated with fire, or as a web, animated with golden light. It is spoken of in the Bible as the golden bowl. Page 80. It is a composition of that matter of the physical plane which we call etheric, and its shape is brought about by the fine interlacing strands of this matter being built by the action of the lesser builders into the form or mold upon which later the dense physical body can be molded. Under the law of attraction, the denser matter of the physical plane is made to cohere to this vitalized form and is gradually built up around it and within it until the interpenetration is so complete that the two forms make but one unit. The pranic emanations of the etheric body itself play upon the dense physical body in the same manner as the pranic emanations of the sun play upon the etheric body. It is all one vast system of transmission and of interdependence within the system. All receive in order to give and to pass on to that which is lesser or not so evolved. Upon every plane, this process can be seen. Thus, the etheric body forms the archetypal plane in relation to the dense physical body. The thinker on his own plane stands, in relation to the physical, as the logos to his system. In the synthesis of thought, it might be expressed thus. The thinker on the astral plane, the plane of desire and of necessity, stands to the physical body as the logos on the cosmic astral plane stands to his system. As we continue the study, we will work out the correspondence in the cosmos, the system, and in the three worlds, for we need to remember that the analogy must be perfect. 1. Man, the microcosm, the manifesting monad, or one. 2. The heavenly man, the planetary logos, or the manifesting group. 3. The grand man of the heavens, the macrocosm, the solar logos, the manifestation of all groups and of all evolutions within his body, the solar system. Page 81. All these bodies, the body of a man, a planetary logos, and a solar logos, are the product of desire originating on the planes of abstract mind, whether cosmic, systemic, or mind in the three worlds, whether cosmic desire mind or human desire mind, and all their bodies are sons of necessity, as H.P.B. so aptly expressed it. 2. 8 statements. It is with the etheric bodies of all we are dealing, and with their vivification by prana, whether cosmic, solar, planetary, or human, with the organs of reception and with the basis of emanations. Here, therefore, we can arrive at certain dicta anent the etheric body, which for purposes of clarity might well be enumerated. First, the etheric body is the mold of the physical body. Second, the etheric body is the archetype upon which the dense physical form is built, whether it is the form of a solar system or of a human body in any one incarnation. Page 82. Third, the etheric body is a web or network of fine interlacing channels formed of matter of the four ethers and built into a specific form. It forms a focal point for certain radiatory emanations which vivify, stimulate, and produce the rotary action of matter. Fourth, these pranic emanations, when focalized and received, react upon the dense matter which is built upon the etheric scaffolding and framework. Fifth, this etheric web, during incarnation, forms a barrier between the physical and astral planes, which can only be transcended when consciousness is sufficiently developed to permit of escape. This can be seen in both the microcosm and the macrocosm. When a man has, through meditation and concentration, expanded his consciousness to a certain point, he is enabled to include the subtler planes and to escape beyond the limits of the dividing web. Physical subplane 1, first ether, atomic plane. Solar system plane, Adi, divine, sea of fire, first cosmic ether. Physical subplane 2, second ether, subatomic. Solar system plane, Anupadaka, monadic plane, Akasha, second cosmic ether. Physical subplane 3, third ether, super etheric. Solar system plane, atmic, spiritual plane, aether, third cosmic ether. Physical subplane 4, fourth ether, super gaseous. Solar system plane, buddhic, intuitional plane, air, fourth cosmic ether. Dense physical, 5, gaseous, subetheric. Planes of humanity, mental, fire, cosmic, gaseous. Dense physical, 6, liquid. Plane of humanity, astral, emotional plane, water, cosmic, liquid. Dense physical, 7, earthly, dense. Plane of humanity, physical plane, earth, cosmic, dense. Page 83. When the logos has expanded his consciousness on cosmic levels, he can then transcend the logoic etheric web and escape beyond the ring pass knot of his objective manifestation. In thinking out this analogy, we must hold closely in mind the fact that the 7 major planes of our solar system are the 7 subplanes of the cosmic physical or the lowest cosmic plane. We might note here the accurate working out of the correspondence in matter and the radiatory correspondence is equally accurate. Sixth, in all the 3 bodies, human, planetary, and systemic or logoic, will be found a great organ within the organism which acts as a receiver of prana. This organ has its etheric manifestation and its dense physical correspondence. In the system, the organ of cosmic prana, of the force vitalizing matter, is the central sun, which is the direct receiver and dispenser of cosmic radiation. This is one of the threefold divisions of the primordial ray of active intelligence. Each of the cosmic rays is, in essence, threefold, a fact which is oft overlooked, though logically obvious. Each ray is the vehicle for a cosmic entity, and all existence is necessarily triple in manifestation. The central sun has within its periphery a center of reception with a surface radiation. In the planet, there will be found a similar organ or receiver within its etheric body, the locality of which is not for exoteric publication and cannot therefore be revealed. It is connected with the location of the 2 poles, north and south, and is the center around which the globe rotates and is the source of the legend of a sacred fertile land within the sphere of polar influences. The mythic land of exceeding fertility, of abundant luxuriance, and of phenomenal growth, vegetable, animal, and human, would naturally lie where prana is received. Page 84. It is the esoteric Garden of Eden, the land of physical perfection. Surface radiation demonstrates after distribution as planetary prana. In man, the organ of reception is the spleen through its etheric counterpart. After distribution over the entire body via the etheric network, it demonstrates in surface radiation as the health aura. Seventh. Thus, in all the 3 bodies will the resemblance clearly be seen, and the working out in perfect correspondence is easily demonstrable. Prana of the solar system. The solar system, entity manifesting, the solar logos. Body of manifestation, the solar system. Receptive center, pole of the central sun. Surface radiation or emanation, solar prana. Movement produced, systemic rotation. Distributive effect, solar etheric radiation, felt cosmically. The planet,
entity manifesting, a planetary logos, body of manifestation, a planet, receptive center, the planetary pole, surface radiation or emanation, planetary prana, movement produced, planetary rotation, distributed effect, planetary etheric radiation felt within the system. A human being, entity manifesting, the thinker, a Daihan Chohan, body of manifestation, physical body, receptive center, the spleen, surface radiation or emanation, health aura, movement produced, atomic rotation, distributive effect, human etheric radiation felt by environment. Page 85. The atom of matter, entity manifesting, an elementary life, body of manifestation, the atomic sphere, receptive center, pole of the atom, surface radiation or emanation, contribution of atom to the united health aura of body, movement produced, atomic rotation, distributed effect, atomic etheric radiation felt within the physical form. Eighth. When the will to live vanishes, then the sons of necessity cease from objective manifestation. This is logically inevitable, and its working out can be seen in every case of entified objectivity. When the thinker on his own plane withdraws his attention from his little system within the three worlds and gathers within himself all his forces, then physical plane existence comes to an end and all returns within the causal consciousness. This is as much an abstraction in the three worlds of the thinker as the absolute is in the threefold solar system of the logos. This demonstrates on the physical plane in the withdrawing from out of the top of the head of the radiant etheric body and the consequent disintegration of the physical. The framework goes and the dense physical form falls apart. The pranic life is abstracted bodily from out of the dense sheath, and the stimulation of the fires of matter ceases to be. The latent fire of the atom remains. It is inherent, but the form is made by the action of the two fires of matter, active and latent, radiatory and inherent, aided by the fire of the second logos, and when they are separated, the form falls apart. This is a picture in miniature of the essential duality of all things acted upon by Fohat. Page 86. There is a close connection between the spleen and the top of the head in connection with the etheric body. The organ of the spleen has an interesting correspondence to the umbilical cord, which attaches an infant to the mother for purposes of nourishment and which is separated at birth. When a man starts to live his own life of conscious desire, when a man is born into a new world of a subtler form of life, that interlaced cord of etheric matter, which had united him to his physical body, is broken. The silver cord is loosed, and the man severs his connection with the dense physical body and passes out through the highest center of the body instead of the lowest, to life in a higher world and of another dimension. So it will be found in all the bodies and sheaths of the microcosm, for the analogy will persist on all planes during manifestation. When more scientific knowledge has been gained, it will be found that the same procedure on a larger scale takes place in planetary manifestation. A planet is but the body of a planetary logos, that body being etheric, and the logos expressing himself through it and building upon the etheric scaffolding a vehicle of manifestation. The moon once was the body of expression for one of the logoi. The earth now is, and the cycles change continuously. The center of escape for the etheric body is found likewise in a physical planet, and the planetary silver cord is loosed at the time appointed. But the times and cycles, their commencement and termination, are hid in the mysteries of initiation and do not concern us. Again, in the solar system itself, similar action will eventuate at the close of a Maha Manvantara. The logos will withdraw within himself, abstracting his three major principles. Footnote. Principles, the basic differentiations, essential qualities or types of energy upon which all things are built. They give the distinctive nature of all forms.
return to text. His body of manifestation, the sun and the seven sacred planets, all existing in etheric matter, will withdraw from objectivity and become obscured. Page 87. From the usual physical standpoint, the light of the system will go out. This will be succeeded by a gradual in-breathing until he shall have gathered all unto himself. The etheric will cease to exist and the web will be no more. Full consciousness will be achieved, and in the moment of achievement, existence or entified manifestation will cease. All will be reabsorbed within the absolute. Pralaya, or the cosmic heaven of rest, will then ensue, and the voice of the silence will be heard no more. The reverberations of the word will die away, and the silence of the high places will reign supreme. Footnote. Pralaya, P-R-A-L-A-Y-A, a period of obscuration or repose, planetary, systemic, or cosmic, an interlude between two periods of manifestation. Return to text. Roman numeral 2, the nature of prana. In dealing with the subject of the etheric body and its functions as an assimilator and distributor of prana, we have dealt with it from the standpoint of its place in the scheme of things. We have considered this matter of etherics from the angle of correspondences and have traced analogies in the system, the planet, and man. We have seen that it formed the foundation of the dense physical form and in itself constituted a most important link between A, physical man and the emotional or astral plane, B, planetary man and essential emotional quality, C, the logos, the grand heavenly man, and the cosmic astral plane. We might now narrow the subject down to the consideration of the etheric body of the human being and not touch upon correspondences to things systemic or cosmic at all, though it may be necessary to remind ourselves that for the wise student, the line along which wisdom comes is the interpretive one. He who knows himself in objective manifestation, essential quality, and comprehensive development knows likewise the Lord of his ray and the logos of his system. Page 88. It is only then a matter of application, conscious expansion, and intelligent interpretation, coupled to a wise abstention from dogmatic assertion and a recognition that the correspondence lies in quality and method more than in detailed adherence to a specified action at any given time in evolution. All that it is possible to give here is material which, if rightly pondered on, may result in more intelligent practical living in the occult sense of the term living, which, if studied scientifically, religiously, and philosophically, may lead to the furthering of the aims of the evolutionary process in the immediately coming lesser cycle. Our aim, therefore, is to make the secondary body of man more real and to show some of its functions and how it can eventually be brought consciously into the range of mental comprehension. Science, as we know, is fast reaching the point where it will be forced to admit the fact of the etheric body, because the difficulties of refusing to acknowledge it will be far more insuperable than an admission of its existence. Scientists admit already the fact of etheric matter. The success of photographic endeavor has demonstrated the reality of that which has hitherto been considered unreal because, from the standpoint of the physical, intangible. Phenomena are occurring all the time which remain in the domain of the supernatural, unless accounted for through the medium of etheric matter, and in their anxiety to prove the spiritualists wrong, scientists have aided the cause of the true and higher spiritism by falling back on reality and on the fact of the etheric body, even though they consider it a body of emanative radiation, being concerned with the effect and not having yet ascertained the cause. Page 89. Medical men are beginning to study, blindly as yet, the question of vitality, the effect of solar rays upon the physical organism, and the underlying laws of inherent and radiatory heat. They are beginning to ascribe to the spleen functions hitherto not recognized, to study the effect of the action of the glands and their relation to the assimilation of the vital essences by the bodily frame.
They are on the right road, and before long, perhaps within this century, the fact of the etheric body and its basic function will be established past all controversy, and the whole aim of preventive and curative medicine will shift to a higher level. All we can do here is to give simply and in a condensed form a few facts which may hasten the day of recognition and further the interest of the true investigator. Let me therefore briefly state what will be dealt with in our remaining 3 points. The functions of the etheric body, its relation to the physical during life, the ills or diseases of the etheric body, taking care to retain the original meaning of the word disease, its after-death condition. This will embody all that is as yet of practical use. More may later be forthcoming for our helping if that which is now given to the public is carefully followed up, and if investigators wisely, sanely, and broadly study this important matter. As the nature and functions of the etheric body of man assume their rightful place in the thought of the world, and as it is realized that the etheric is the most important of the two physical bodies, man will be brought into closer conscious contact with the other evolutions that evolve in etheric matter, just as he does in a dense physical body. Page 90. There are certain large groups of devas called the devas of the shadows, or the violet devas, who are closely allied with the evolutionary development of man's etheric body, and who transmit to him solar and planetary radiation. The etheric body of man receives prana in different ways and of different kinds, and all these ways bring him into touch with varying entities. 1. Solar prana. This is that vital and magnetic fluid which radiates from the sun and which is transmitted to man's etheric body through the agency of certain deva entities of a very high order and of a golden hue. It is passed through their bodies and emitted as powerful radiations which are applied direct through certain plexi in the uppermost part of the etheric body, the head and shoulders, and passed down to the etheric correspondence of the physical organ, the spleen, and from thence forcibly transmitted into the spleen itself. These golden-hued pranic entities are in the air above us and are specially active in such parts of the world as California, in those tropical countries where the air is pure and dry and the rays of the sun are recognized as being specially beneficial. Relations between man and this group of devas are very close, but fraught as yet with much danger to man. These devas are of a very powerful order, and, along their own line, are further evolved than man himself. Unprotected man lies at their mercy, and in this lack of protection and man's failure to understand the laws of magnetic resistance or of solar repulsion comes, for instance, the menace of sunstroke. When the etheric body and its assimilative processes are comprehended scientifically, man will then be immune from dangers due to solar radiation. He will protect himself by the application of the laws governing magnetic repulsion and attraction, and not so much by clothing and shelter. Page 91. It is largely a question of polarization. One hint might here be given. When men understand the deva evolution somewhat more correctly and recognize their work along certain lines in connection with the sun and realize that they represent the feminine pole as they themselves represent the masculine, the fourth creative hierarchy being male, they will comprehend the mutual relationship and govern that relationship by law. These solar devas take the radiatory rays of the sun, which reach from its center to the periphery, along one of the 3 channels of approach, pass them through their organism, and focalize them there. They act almost as a burning glass acts. These rays are then reflected or transmitted to man's etheric body and caught up by him and again assimilated. When the etheric body is in good order and functioning correctly, enough of this prana is absorbed to keep the form organized. This is the whole object of the etheric body's functioning and is a point which cannot be sufficiently emphasized. The remainder is cast off in the form of animal radiation or physical magnetism, all terms expressing the same idea.
Man therefore repeats on a lesser scale the work of the great solar devas, and in his turn adds his quota of repolarized or remagnetized emanation to the sum total of the planetary aura. 2. Planetary prana. This is the vital fluid emanated from any planet which constitutes its basic coloring or quality, and is produced by repetition within the planet of the same process which is undergone in connection with man and solar prana. Page 92. The planet, the Earth or any other planet, absorbs solar prana, assimilates what is required, and radiates off that which is not essential to its well-being in the form of planetary radiation. Planetary prana, therefore, is solar prana which has passed throughout the planet, has circulated through the planetary etheric body, has been transmitted to the dense physical planet, and has been cast off thence in the form of a radiation of the same essential character as solar prana, plus the individual and distinctive quality of the particular planet concerned. This again repeats the process undergone in the human body. The physical radiations of men differ according to the quality of their physical bodies. So it is with a planet. Planetary emanative prana, as in the case of solar prana, is caught up and transmitted via a particular group of devas called the devas of the shadows, who are ethereal devas of a slightly violet hue. Their bodies are composed of the matter of one or other of the four ethers, and they focalize and concentrate the emanations of the planet and of all forms upon the planet. They have a specially close connection with human beings owing to the fact of the essential resemblance of their bodily substance to man's etheric substance, and because they transmit to him the magnetism of Mother Earth, as it is called. Therefore, we see that there are two groups of devas working in connection with man. A. Solar devas, who transmit the vital fluid which circulates in the etheric body. B. Planetary devas of a violet color, who are allied to man's etheric body and who transmit earthly prana, or the prana of whichever planet man may be functioning upon during a physical incarnation. A very pertinent question might here be asked, and though we may not fully explain the mystery, a few suggestive hints may be possible. Page 93. We might ask, what causes the apparent deadness of the moon? Is there deva life upon it? Does solar prana have no effect there? What constitutes the difference between the apparently dead moon and a live planet, such as the Earth? Here we touch upon a hidden mystery of which the solution lies revealed for those who seek in the fact that human beings and certain groups of devas are no longer found upon the moon. Man has not ceased to exist upon the moon because it is dead and cannot therefore support his life. But the moon is dead because man and these deva groups have been removed from off its surface and from its sphere of influence. Man and the devas act on every planet as intermediaries or as transmitting agencies. Where they are not found, then certain great activities become impossible and disintegration sets in. The reason for this removal lies in the cosmic law of cause and effect, or cosmic karma, and in the composite yet individual history of that one of the heavenly men whose body, the moon or any other dead planet at any time, happened to be. 3. The prana of forms. It must first be pointed out that forms are necessarily of two kinds, each having a different place in the scheme. Forms that are the result of the work of the third and the second logos and their united life, such forms are the units in the vegetable, animal, and mineral kingdoms. Forms that are the result of the united action of the three logoi and comprise the strictly deva and human forms. There is also the still simpler form embodied in the substance of which all the other forms are made. This matter is, strictly speaking, the atomic and molecular matter and is animated by the life or energy of the third logos. Page 94 is a chart and is deleted. Page 95. In dealing with the first group of forms, it must be noted that the pranic emanations given off by units of the animal and vegetable kingdom after they have absorbed both solar and planetary prana, are naturally a combination of the two and are transmitted by means of surface radiation, as in solar and planetary prana, to certain lesser groups of devas of a not very high order, who have a curious and intricate relationship to the group soul of the radiating animal or vegetable. This matter cannot be dealt with here. These devas are also of a violet hue, but of such a pale color as to be almost gray. They are in a transitional state and merge with a puzzling confusion with groups of entities that are almost on the involutionary arc. Footnote. Involutionary arc is the term applied to the first part of the evolutionary process. It covers the path of descent, or the coming down of spirit into ever denser matter, until the lowest point is reached, the point of densest concretion. The latter half of the process is called evolutionary and marks the ascent or return of spirit to its emanating source, plus the gains of the evolutionary process. Return to text. Page 96. In dealing with the second group, the human form transmits the emanative radiations to a much higher grade of deva. These devas are of a more pronounced hue, and after due assimilation of the human radiation, they transmit it principally to the animal kingdom, thus demonstrating the close relationship between the two kingdoms. If the above explanation of the intricate interrelation between the sun and the planets, between the planets and the evolving forms upon them, between the forms themselves in ever-descending importance, demonstrates nothing more than the exquisite interdependence of all existences, then much will have been achieved. Another fact which must also be brought out is the close relationship between all these evolutions of nature, from the celestial sun down to the humblest violet, via the deva evolution, which acts as a transmuting force throughout the system. Page 97. Lastly, all work with fire, fire internal, inherent, and latent, fire radiatory and emanative, fire generated, assimilated, and radiated, fire vivifying, stimulating, and destroying, fire transmitted, reflected, and absorbed, fire the basis of all life, fire the essence of all existence, fire the means of development and the impulse behind all evolutionary process, fire the builder, the preserver, and the constructor, fire the originator, the process, and the goal, fire the purifier and the consumer. The God of fire and the fire of God interacting upon each other, till all fires blend and blaze, until all that exists is passed through the fire, from a solar system to an ant, and emerges as a triple perfection. Fire then passes out from the ring-pass knot as perfected essence, whether essence emerging from the human ring-pass knot, the planetary ring-pass knot, or the solar. The wheel of fire turns, and all within that wheel is subjected to the threefold flame, and eventually stands perfected. Roman numeral 3, the function of the etheric body. We will now continue with the discussion of the etheric body and take up the consideration of its function and its relation to the physical body. The two may wisely be considered together, for the interrelation is so close that it is not possible to discuss them separately. Primarily, the functions of the etheric body are three in number. 1. It is the receiver of prana. 2. It is the assimilator of prana. 3. It is the transmitter of prana. 1. The receiver of prana. The etheric body may therefore be described as negative or receptive in respect to the rays of the sun, and as positive and expulsive in respect to the dense physical body. Page 98. The second function, that of assimilation, is strictly balanced or internal. As stated earlier, the pranic emanations of the sun are absorbed by the etheric body via certain centers which are found principally in the upper part of the body, from whence they are directed downwards to the center which is called the etheric spleen, as it is the counterpart in etheric matter of that organ. The main center for the reception of prana at present is a center between the shoulder blades. Another has been allowed to become partially dormant in man through the abuses of so-called civilization and is situated slightly above the solar plexus. In the coming root race, and increasingly in this, the necessity for the exposure of these two centers to the rays of the sun will be appreciated, with a corresponding improvement in physical vitality and adaptability. These three centers, 1, between the shoulder blades, 2, above the diaphragm, 3, and the spleen, make, if one could but see it, a radiant etheric triangle, which triangle is the originating impulse for the later pranic circulation throughout the entire system. The etheric body is really a network of fine channels, which are the component parts of one interlacing fine cord, one portion of this cord being the magnetic link which unites the physical and the astral bodies, and which is snapped or broken after the withdrawal of the etheric body from the dense physical body at the time of death. The silver cord is loosed, as the Bible expresses it, and this is the basis of the legend of the fateful sister who cuts the thread of life with the dreaded shears. The etheric web is composed of the intricate weaving of this vitalized cord, and apart from the seven centers within the web, which correspond to the sacred centers and of which the spleen is frequently counted as one, it has the two above mentioned, which make, with the spleen, a triangle of activity. Page 99. The etheric web of the solar system is of an analogous nature, and likewise has its three receptor centers for cosmic prana. The mysterious band in the heavens, which we call the Milky Way, is closely connected with cosmic prana, or that cosmic vitality or nourishment which vitalizes the solar etheric system. 2. The assimilator of prana. The process of assimilation is carried on in this triangle, and the prana which enters into either center circulates three times around the triangle before being transmitted to all parts of the etheric vehicle and from thence to the dense physical body. The main organ of assimilation is the spleen, the etheric center, and the dense physical organ. The vital essence from the sun is passed into the etheric spleen and is there subjected to a process of intensification or devitalization according to the condition, healthy or not, of that organ. If the man is in a healthy state, the emanation received will be augmented by his own individual vibration, and its rate of vibration will be keyed up before it is passed on into the physical spleen, or it will be slowed down and lowered if the man is in a poor condition of health. These three centers are in the form that all centers take, of saucer-like depressions, resembling somewhat the appearance of small whirlpools, and which draw within their sphere of influence the currents that come their way. The centers should be pictured as whirling vortices, with a closely woven threefold channel passing from each center to the other, and forming an almost separate circulatory system. This finds its point of departure for the entire system at the further side of the spleen to that at which the prana entered. Page 100. The vital fluid circulates through and between these three centers three times before it finally passes out from them to the periphery of its little system. This final circulation carries the prana, via the fine interlacing channels, to every part of the body, which becomes entirely impregnated by these emanations, if it might be so expressed. These emanations find their way finally out of the etheric system by means of surface radiation. The pranic essence escapes from the circumference of its temporary ring pass knot as emanative human prana, which is the same prana as earlier received, plus the peculiar quality that any single individual may convey to it during its transitory circulation. The essence escapes, plus individual quality. Here again can be seen the correspondence to the escape of all essences from within any ring pass knot when the cycle has been completed. This matter of the etheric body is of a very practical interest, and when its importance is better realized, men will attend to the distribution of prana within the body with closer attention and will see that the vitalization of the body via the three centers proceeds unhindered. The subject has necessarily to be handled in a superficial manner, and only outlines and scattered hints can be given. Nevertheless, it will be found that if this teaching is studied with care, it will convey a knowledge of truths whose caliber and content will prove invaluable and of a kind hitherto not given out. The place of the etheric sheath as a separator or ring-pass knot and its functions as a receiver and distributor of prana are dealt with here in a larger sense than heretofore, and the subject may later be enlarged. Two fundamental truths stand out from the aggregate of facts so slightly dealt with here. First, the fourth etheric subplane of the physical plane is the immediate concern of A, man, the microcosm, B, the heavenly man, the planetary logos, C, the grand man of the heavens, the solar logos. Page 101. Second, in this fourth chain and fourth round, the fourth ether is beginning to be studied, and, viewed as a separating web, it permits occasional exit to those of suitable vibration. 3. The transmitter of prana. We have touched but little on the subject of the fire, the purpose of the etheric body being to convey it and distribute it to all parts of its system. We have dwelt on facts which might stimulate interest and emphasize the utility of this pranic vehicle. Certain facts need emphasis and consideration as we study this static ring and its circulating fires. Let me briefly recapitulate for the sake of clarity. The system receives prana from cosmic sources via three centers and redistributes it to all parts of its extended influence or to the bounds of the solar etheric web. This cosmic prana becomes colored by solar quality and reaches the furthest confines of the system. Its mission might be described as the vitalization of the vehicle, which is the physical material expression of the solar logos. The planet receives prana from the solar center and redistributes it via the three receiving centers to all parts of its sphere of influence. This solar prana becomes colored by the planetary quality and is absorbed by all evolutions found within the planetary ring path knot. Its mission might be described as the vitalization of the vehicle, which is the physical material expression of one or other of the seven heavenly men. Page 102. The microcosm receives prana from the sun after it has permeated the planetary etheric vehicle, so that it is solar prana plus planetary quality. Each planet is the embodiment of some one ray aspect, and its quality is marked predominantly on all its evolution. Prana, therefore, which is active radiatory heat, varies in vibration and quality according to the receiving entity. Man passes the prana through his etheric vehicle, colors it with his own peculiar quality, and so transmits it to the lesser lives that make up his little system. Thus, the great interaction goes on, and all parts blend, merge, and are interdependent, and all parts receive, color, qualify, and transmit. An endless circulation goes on that has neither a conceivable beginning nor possible end from the point of view of finite man, for its source and end are hid in the unknown cosmic fount. Were conditions everywhere perfected, this circulation would proceed unimpeded and might result in a condition of almost endless duration, but limitation and termination result as the effects of imperfection giving place to a gradual perfection. Every cycle originates from another cycle of a relative completeness and will give place ever to a higher spiral. Thus eventuate periods of apparent relative perfection leading to those which are still greater. The aim for this greater cycle is the blending, as we know, of the two fires of matter, latent and active, and their merging with the fires of mind and spirit till they are lost from sight in the general flame. The fires of mind and spirit burn up matter and thereby bring about liberation from the confining vehicles. The altar of earth is the birthplace of spirit, its liberator from the mother matter, and its entrance into higher realms. Hence, when the pranic vehicle is working perfectly in all three groups, human, planetary, and solar, the union with latent fire will be accomplished. Here lies the reason for the emphasis laid on the necessity for building pure, refined physical vehicles. Page 103. The more refined and rarefied the form, the better a receiver of prana will it be, and the less will be the resistance found to the uprising of kundalini at the appointed time. Coarse matter and crude, immature physical bodies are a menace to the occultist, and no true seer will be found with a body of a gross quality. The dangers of disruption are too great, and the menace of disintegration by fire too awful. Once in the history of the race, in Lemurian days, this was seen in the destruction of the race and the continents by means of fire. The guides of the race at that time availed themselves of just this very thing to bring about the finish of an inadequate form. The latent fire of matter, as seen in volcanic display, for instance, and the radiatory fire of the system were combined. Planetary kundalini and solar emanation rushed into conjunction, and the work of destruction was accomplished. The same thing may again be seen, only in matter of the second ether, and the effects therefore will be less severe owing to the rarity of this ether and the comparatively greater refinement of the vehicles. We might here note a fact of interest, though of a mystery insoluble as yet to most of us, and that is that these destructions by fire are part of the tests by fire of an initiation of that one of the heavenly men whose karma is bound up with our earth. Each destruction of a portion of the web results in a greater facility of exit and is in reality, when seen from the higher planes, a step forward and an expansion. A repetition of this takes place likewise in the system at the stated cycles. End of side 4, a treatise on cosmic fire, page 103, continued on side 5.